I look forward to hearing Kevin play today, and he's been playing all week down at East Durham. They have a Irish festival that's been going on there for a long time, and it's a music camp where people take lessons and everything. And they have, the whole town is filled with apparently Gavin's and O'Connell's hotels and O'Malley's bars and all that stuff, and they have sessions, and it's like little Ireland there. It's the Irish Catskills. Since about 1920, it's been that way, apparently. Anyway, when I was in college, when I flirted with the college career in 1972, I met some friends, and I'd been a fan of Arlo Guthrie, and my friend had the new Arlo Guthrie record, and it had this one track on it called Sailor's Bonnet, and it was a fiddle tune, and I'd been playing some Doc Watson stuff on the guitar, or trying to, and starting to learn how to play the fiddle a little bit, and then I knew that there was this great stuff called Irish music, traditional music, and so my friend played this record, and I kept playing that one track, Sailor's Bonnet, over and over and over again, and I looked at the liner notes, and it was this guy named Kevin Burke who was playing the fiddle on there, and I said, this is the stuff I've been looking for. So I started looking around for his music, and eventually met the guy, and he's a swell man, and I hope someday he'll come here. Anyway, shop as well as mine, so if you have questions or requests, go ahead, there's one right there.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the relationship between traditional Irish music and what happened when
you came
over to the side of the
mountain. Okay, the question is about describe the process that where the music changed when it came from Ireland to the U.S. and developed here. I think that the music, as it was in this country, it was in that country, it was kind of localized much more before radio, before records were popular. And like it did here, it changed real fast with those two things. And I think it changed much more quickly here in this country because there was more, I don't know, it's just more industrialization. Ireland's a very poor country until recently, and actually the cream of the iconic fiddlers and instrumentalists in Irish music and singers as well that we think of today, most of them recorded in New York and Chicago in the 1920s and 30s. People like Michael Coleman, names like that, and the Flanagan brothers, James Morrison, some of those people, the Pipers. It was a big center in New York and Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston. And the record labels were recording these people, and then those records made it back to Ireland. And Michael Coleman was one of the hot dogs who played the fiddle, and all of a sudden his music was all over Ireland, and he was really originally from a small town in Sligo called Gertine. And once his records came out, everybody was in Ireland, he could afford a phonograph, and the records were buying these records, and he was popular all over Ireland, and the style became more popular, and that was the beginning of sort of regional styles starting to branch out into other areas because it was on the radio and on the records, especially on the records there. Anyway, in this country, the same thing happened with records and that kind of thing. Every fiddler wanted to play Cacklin Hen. Every fiddler wanted to play Orange Blossom Special. That was where the money was, you know. And so it kind of drove that stuff. The Grand Ole Opry, the WLS Barn Dance, these big Saturday night radio shows, and the station that played them, which was, they were very strong stations, particularly late at night after sun went down, after 7 o'clock. When the other stations went off the air, then all these people could hear this music that was, people were going to the big city to play country music, and then they would broadcast it all over the country. And so, particularly on the Grand Ole Opry, there's a guy named Arthur Smith. There's sort of a before and after Arthur Smith, and after Arthur Smith, sort of more modern kind of a little slightly like a longer bow style kind of came forward and became the main way to play the fiddle in country music here. And what we call old time music now is kind of anti-Arthur Smith, a lot of it. They kind of want to play the music that predates that. And I'm not sure where those arguments ever get resolved about what is really old time music, what's really Irish music, and that kind of thing. But I think, you know, maybe the music was similar when it arrived in the U.S. and as it was in Ireland. But you also had in this country a lot of the Scots-Irish who came here first. So they were settlers who left Scotland and settled in the northern part of Ireland as part of Queen Elizabeth's solution to, the British Empire, kind of solidifying it. Let's send these guys out and sort of plant and gain ground and civilize these cultures, these native cultures. I did the same thing in Virginia and tried to, these Scots-Irish people, they settled in Ireland, Northern Ireland for a while, and then the tax laws and the religious freedom laws changed a little bit, and then a lot of them came to the U.S. And so you had all these Presbyterians who played fiddles too, and they they played a lot of the same reels and jigs that the Irish people played, and a little bit different style, I suppose. But that music was probably here, and when the famine, you know, when the famine happened in 1840s, those Scots-Irish had been here for 100 years, a lot of them, and they were already changing the music, probably. Then with the United States, you had the black influence, the African influence, with the banjo and with the rhythm, and apparently, up until about 1920 or so, the black fiddler was a really important part of the Southern music scene and the entertainment scene. Play for dances, play for people just for entertainment, apparently. And so that whole thing really would have changed the music a good bit. But I think, you know, these things don't really exist in a vacuum. I think for a while it did. Nowadays, when you hear Irish music, you hear a lot of rock and roll influences in the backbeat, on the backing, you know, the instrumental backing behind the fiddlers and instrumental soloists. So it just kind of keeps coming, feeding back on itself, the influences.